the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
Welcome back. Stuff. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, December 15th, 2020. You know, I think about doing these hot takes on news items and kind of think better of it just before I do it, because I don't know. You know, Lark said it way back when, whenever that was. I want to say it was 2013. 2012, 2013, somewhere around there. Regurgitating this tripe is not necessarily a good thing. Anyway, speaking of remembering things, I remember when Rudy Giuliani interviewed Vladimir Zelenko way back when, months and months ago, back in March. I remember when Vladimir Zelenko said this. Go ahead, please.
The people that are being treated, are some of them still suffering from very difficult symptoms? I mean, is there a gradation of what you're seeing from very serious symptoms to very minor symptoms?
Yeah, well, I don't treat people with minor symptoms unless they're extremely high risk. Can I give you my parameters?
Of course. That's what we want. Yep.
And this is to the American people. If you're young and healthy, you'll be fine.
The parameters are, if you're young and healthy, you'll be fine.
Your immune system is strong enough. Statistically, it's been proven you will recover. You may be miserable for 2 weeks, but you will recover.
We can pause. Maybe we'll pause for a second.
Your immune system.
I shouldn't do this, but you know, most people be asking, okay, what does he mean by if you're young and healthy? Like what? You're young, 20 something. Well, he explains. So just keep listening. Go ahead, please.
By itself, unaided by anything, will defeat the COVID.
Statistically, that's been the case, yes.
Would you prescribe something for these young people to help them with that?
At this point, I don't, because the medication is not a candy. It does have side effects. So I have to have a good reason. You know, everything in life is a risk versus a benefit analysis.
Have you varied that with any of the young people so that you did treat them?
Well, there are young people that have illnesses.
Well, of course. So if a young person has compromises to their immune system,
yeah, sure,
they're going to be almost in the same situation as an older person.
Exactly. That's a different. That's why I said young and healthy. But I define young less than 60.
Pardon me?
When I say young, I mean less than 60 years old.
Okay. Less than 60. And have you had any of those? Less than 60. No other problems. Have you had to give medicine to any of those because the symptoms were so bad?
I have. People were begging. And in clinical medicine, sometimes, you have to make exceptions.
Of course, right. But you're quite convinced that in the vast majority of cases, these people are going to win the battle based on their immune system.
That's well established fact.
Okay, so now
The rest of that's a well established fact. Most people are going to win the battle based on their immune system, and you know it turns out that even the CDC echoes this. If you go to COVID-19 pandemic planning scenarios put out by the CDC, COVID-19 pandemic planning scenarios updated September 10, 2020. September 10 update is based on data received by CDC through August 8, 2020. The September 10 update is the most recent I'm aware of. And you go to table one, where they outline the five scenarios. I've talked about this before recently too. The infection fatality rate in all of the scenarios for anyone under 70 years of age is, I keep thinking about putting this together with navigating the uncharted. The COVID-19 pandemic planning scenarios put out by the CDC, most recent update, September 10, 2020. You put that together with navigating the uncharted. Those two things. So you put table one, which outlines the five scenarios, and that first number. So the R naught for scenarios one and two, R naught value 2.0 for scenario one and two, 4.0 for three and four, 2.5 for scenario five, current best estimate. But the next number, infection fatality ratio, is, you know, even in the bad scenarios, it's next to nothing. So from 0 to 19 years of age in scenario 5, current best estimate, 0 to 19 years of age, the infection fatality ratio, according to the CDC, is 0.0003. Be afraid, be very afraid, run for your lives. 20 to 49 years of age, 0.0002. 50 to 69 years of age, 0.005. 70 plus, 0.054. So you put all that together, and, you know, in my mind, I think of COVID-19 navigating the uncharted, which was published February 28, 2020. Anthony S. Fauci, H. Clifford Lane, Robert R. Redfield, in which the authors wrote, where is that? If one assumes that the number of asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic cases is several times as high as the number of reported cases, which we keep hearing, we should continue to assume, the case fatality rate may be considerably less than 1%. Case fatality rate may be considerably less than 1%. This suggests that the overall clinical consequences of COVID-19 may ultimately be more akin to those of a severe seasonal influenza, which has a case fatality rate of approximately 0.1%. That's funny because, according to the CDC's own best current, you know, current best estimate in the COVID-19 pandemic planning scenarios, it's less than 0.1%. The aggregate, or, you know, and then they include or a pandemic influenza similar to those in 1957 and 68, rather than a disease similar to SARS or MERS, which have had a case fatality rates, have had case fatality rates of 9 to 10% and 36% respectively. So considerably less than 1%, yes. Akin to those of a severe seasonal influenza, yes. That seems to be what we're looking at. Yet somehow, even at this moment, I think this is the devil's, you know, plausible deniability. I think of the book of Job, for example, and, you know, God says, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, well, he only, and, you know, in my estimation of these kinds of stories, you know, the devil will do these things in a way that maintains plausible deniability, which is why, you know, guys like Jim Biden use that term. It's a Machiavellian, you know, term of art. You know, if we raised our kids that way, imagine what kind of a world it would be. Oh, that's right, we are, you know. So, you know, the way this goes is the devil can publish stuff like this. These kinds of things get published. COVID-19, navigating the uncharted. I keep thinking about this in the back of my mind. And, you know, you put it together with things like the CDC's COVID-19 pandemic planning scenarios. Where is the data for the hysteria? I mean, it'd be easy to put these two things together and say it's not, it doesn't rise to the level of the hysteria that we're hearing. Oh, but look at the numbers on CNN. Right, but we can go back to the very beginning and also, you know, talk about how Deborah Birx et al. Said that we're taking a very liberal approach to mortality. Remember that? Has that changed? I'm not aware that it has. Taking a very liberal approach to mortality. You know, I said way back when it was all about active hospitalizations, and there were almost none of those at the time. And, you know, if you want to really make it look like something bad has happened, then you crush the healthcare system. You furlough everybody. Professor Newt Vikowski said way back when, you know, the math is the math, and if you flatten the curve, you lengthen it. Which I also mentioned when I said it's all about active hospitalizations, when we really started to hear about the case-demic or dem panic, or however it's been construed. I think we can grab that from Deborah Birx. Maybe we should do that for posterity's sake. April 7. White House Coronavirus Task Force. Yeah. We're taking a very liberal approach to mortality. Deborah Birx. And let me see. Let me just double check. CDC... You know, the presumed cases is that little nugget is gone. No more presumed cases. Isn't that funny? I dig around. Yeah, that's right. So here's Deborah Birx back in April in her own words. Liberal approach to mortality. Go ahead, please.
And one for Dr. Fauci or Dr. Birx. Can you talk about your concerns about deaths being misreported by coronavirus because of either testing or standards for how they're characterized?
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus called you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem. Some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
Can you be sure? You hear from coroners that that's not necessarily the case. Are you sure? How can you be confident about that? And is there any concern that it skews the data that you're trying to collect in terms of projections and things like that?
Well, I think that would apply more to rural areas that may not have the same level of testing, but I am pretty confident in New York City and New Jersey and places that have these large outbreaks and COVID-only hospitals. I can tell you they are testing. New York and New Jersey together have, by proportion, are testing extraordinarily well as Washington State and Louisiana. So I don't see that there's been a barrier in testing to diagnosis.
I think there's so much focus now on coronavirus that, particularly if you take New York, which we all know is having a disproportionately higher proportion of the burden of the entire country is right now in New York. Now, I can't imagine if someone comes in with coronavirus, goes to an ICU, and they have an underlying heart condition and they die, they're going to say cause of death, heart attack. I cannot see that happening. So I don't think it's going to be a problem.
How about one
actually,
more?
A question for Dr. Fauci on the virus hitting.
Yeah. It has been a problem, and I've seen it personally. You know, people, I've heard deaths mislabeled, COVID-related. So it has been an issue. And, you know, you go back to the situation in Italy, and that article, why have so many coronavirus patients died in Italy? The Telegraph article, which mentions that, well, it's, you know, an elderly population, according to modeling by Imperial College London. Why not trust them? The majority of this age group are likely to need critical hospital care, including 80% of the 80-somethings, putting immense pressure on the healthcare system. And continuing, on reevaluation by the National Institute of Health, only 12% of the death certificates have shown a direct causality from coronavirus, while 88% of the patients who have died have at least one pre-morbidity. Many had two or three. That was according to Professor Walter Ricciardi, scientific advisor to Italy's Minister of Health. So, you know, there are folks who were saying the same thing. And you have in the video there in the Telegraph, I think that's actually the scene that was used in news coverage over here. Was it CBS who got busted using that very footage and trying to construe it as footage here in America in the Italian hospital? Anyway, some of us remember these things, even though YouTube keeps trying to unremember and memory hole these things for us. I was just looking at the CDC's latest data on the COVID tracker. The data sources, references, blah, blah, blah. You should just look at the Johns Hopkins data. But, you know, since January 21, CDC, what does it say? Total cases based on aggregate counts reported since January 21, which is interesting. So they started January 21, fewer than 1,000. It was around 800 cases. And again, you know, CEPI within days saying, we're funding three programs. And that was fast. And if you look back at the history of CEPI and Gavi and all of these Gates World Economic Forum constructs, the timing is curious, including Event 201. It's just all coincidences. Stick around, we'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer,
It's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ave Maria.
A good Catholic boy singing Ave Maria. Isn't that nice? Come on, let's just go with it for a minute. Let's just go with it. So as I'm looking at CDC's COVID data tracker, down at the bottom, data sources, references, and notes, during the break I read, the numbers are confirmed and probable COVID-19 cases, but they have their, you know, confirmation system, right? CDC's overall case numbers are validated through a confirmation process with each jurisdiction. Also, let's see, demographic data for deaths is based on a subset of cases where case level data is available, which doesn't really tell me a whole lot. But, you know, the numbers are confirmed and probable. There you go. That's even what the CDC says. And again, you know, we go back to Kerry Mullis and we start talking about what all of this means, and it starts to get murky real fast. It's as clear as peanut butter, as the folks over at the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons might say. So why? Well, Jeff Dice did an audio Mises Wire back in October titled "The Absurdity of COVID Cases." Maybe we'll play that. It's only about 6 minutes long or so. And, you know, this is absurd. You can go to the World Health Organization's estimating mortality for COVID-19. Same thing. Scientific Brief, August 4, 2020. And so estimating mortality. And they talk about infection fatality ratio versus case fatality ratio and tailing this. But, you know, how do we arrive at these numbers? Again, it gets as clear as peanut butter real quick. And another curious fun fact while we're at it. Where is that? I had the numbers handy for all of the countries, what the COVID-related infection fatality ratio was for all countries. Maybe I'll try to find that in the break. I had that somewhere handy. And, you know, you look at it and you wonder, as Dr. Peter McCullough said, for example, when in last month's Senate Homeland Committee hearings, in particular, when they were talking about the use of hydroxychloroquine, and I think it was Peter McCullough who said, it's crazy what you see, you know, across the spectrum of how hydroxychloroquine is treated. For example, if you're in Australia, then you will be thrown in jail if you try to prescribe it. Whereas in India, it's one of the first things that they go to. It's like a frontline defense mechanism. And, you know, we've talked about the, you know, America's frontline doctors, the presentation by, oh gosh, what's his name? Dr. Jeff Mitchell, talking about the six sub-Saharan African countries that they looked at, and they, you know, there's nothing going on here. Their infection fatality rate in India or these six sub-Saharan African countries is like, you know, 1 in 3 million. So it's 0.3 per million or something like that, which is, wow, how are they doing that? And according to Dr. Jeff Mitchell and others, basically it's this anti-malarial prophylaxis, which includes hydroxychloroquine or like. And they're saying basically it's, you know, preventing the infection and the spread. So, and it's ironic because it's almost like the Bill Gateses, the Malthusian contingent, are upset. Oh, we thought this was going to crush you guys. It's going to be really terrible in the sub-Saharan African countries. What? It's not? Oh, man, that's disappointing. But I still think that the developed world is getting the Africa treatment. And that's why we see the AIDS and PEPFAR contingent on the periphery or the forefront. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.thepatriotlife.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars move by. Yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love.
Welcome back.
Oh, morning star.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, December 15th, 2020. To the phones, Pat in Texas. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi.
Morning, Pat.
I remember where I learned all those songs. I was in elementary school. I'm 78 now. They took our elementary school over to a church, and I sat in the balcony and taught us all those songs. Can you imagine?
Very nice.
Can you imagine? Boy, have things changed. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to tell you that I quoted you yesterday because I was trying to talk somebody out of taking the vaccine, you know. And he said, "You're just a conspiracy theorist." And I said, "Okay, I'll admit you. I'm a conspiracy theorist if you'll admit you're a coincidental therapist."
John Judge.
Okay.
Yeah.
I learned it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right.
He said, you can call me a conspiracy theorist as long as we agree to call everyone else a coincidence theorist, you know.
Really?
That, I mean, it's a coincidence, and it was the Kennedy assassination, I want to say, that was the backdrop for those remarks. He wrote a letter, I can find it real quick. "Not all conspiracies are created equal" was the title of the letter, responding to some comment about the Kennedy assassination. So the way he put it, you know, he was responding. This was when he used to respond to emails. And so in one of the responses, you know, he said, basically, do your homework. And not all conspiracies are created equal. He said, "I am, if anything, one of the first to wear the moniker conspiracy theorist." And obviously he understood the origins of the PSYOP that has been used to weaponize that term and sort of dead end any meaningful conversation. But, you know, he said John McLaughlin on his NewsHour once claimed that the character portrayed by Mel Gibson in the movie Conspiracy Theory was based on John Judge's personality, quote unquote. And he said another laughable claim, but evidence that what he was researching and saying gets under the skin enough to make them drag him out of obscurity into the national media. And he said, "I'm willing to be called a conspiracy theorist as long as you call everyone else a coincidence theorist. The U.S. military industrial intelligence state and its police forces were intimately involved in the murders of John and Robert Kennedy and Dr. King, and we are still working hard to get final release of their own massive documents and files that relate to that history." And so that's what he was. And then he went into, you know, some other things. But, you know, I mean, he's been proven right. And still we labor under these delusions. It's an established fact, you know, that there's been the involvement of dark forces that include government, military, you know, coordinated effort that involves the United States government that assassinates folks like JFK and Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King, of course. That's a well-established fact. And yet, still we have this narrative that would have people believe some fairy tale. And it's just astonishing, you know. So with this thing, that's one of the reasons that I keep invoking that phrase, "I'm willing to be called a conspiracy theorist as long as you call everyone else a coincidence theorist," as John Judge said. Because, again, like I said in today's broadcast, we go way back to January and we see – I mean, I thought it was peculiar. I always think of Johnson & Johnson Chief Scientific Officer Paul Stoffel saying back in January that they were – I mean, I said in January it was peculiar that he was saying late January, January 27th, when there were still about 1,000 cases worldwide, they're saying, "We can make a vaccine for this." Where did that come from? You know, you have Event 201 where Johnson & Johnson is represented. I wonder, that's a curious coincidence. And moments later, Paul Stoffels is saying, "We can make a vaccine for that." And then with Bill Hemmer in April, when Hemmer said, So when did you guys start? But like, what did you see? What did you guys see that made you think in January that you wanted to make a vaccine? And he sounded, as I've said, like Chris Farley and Tommy Boy, you know? David Spade says, you know, you're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie? So Paul Stoffel's chief scientific officer would, you would presume, have all of the figures, the facts and figures at his command and disposal. And so when Hemmer says, what did you guys see? Like, when did you start making the vaccine? When did China provide the data, the, what do you call it? The sequencing of the virus. And Stoffel says, well, you know, earlier in January, not so much later. What in the world kind of thing is that for a chief scientific officer to say? So you just look at the fact that, you know, CEPI was tweeting about it January 23rd, and Stoffels and company, you know, all of these Event 201 participants suddenly move all of this infrastructure into place that was just magically created not too long before, and all the other folks, you know, World Economic Forum and the Great Reset and all of that infrastructure that has, again, magically been foreshadowed. And, you know, the clip we play of Angus Bergen imagining a new moral economy when he said, the time for reimagining that we've heard of, you know, Andrew Cuomo wants to reimagine education in New York, for example, all this reimagining we hear about. And so Angus Bergen said, when what's her name, Hari Han, the moderator, said, what are your thoughts, basically, you know, on the work to do the reimagine, you know, what are your thoughts on the conditions right now and this reimagining stuff? And Angus Bergen said, I would just emphasize that it's a misnomer to think that crises lead to reimagining. The work to do the reimagining needs to happen before a crisis takes place. And he said it happens years or even decades before the crisis arrives. The crisis is just an opportunity for policymakers to reach to the shelf and grab something that they can experiment with. That's what Angus Bergen said. And he's one of those guys at Johns Hopkins who is in a good position to know because he's studied it and he's also part of doing it. And that's how all these policies just magically materialized. And I've talked about the reports and things. I'm just grabbing a pile, you know. Speaking of Johns Hopkins, you know, you have documents like this. Let's see. Duke University, a national COVID-19 surveillance system, achieving containment. That was April 7.
Chris?
Yeah.
I remember when Duke and Johns Hopkins were good institutions. I've been there myself.
Yeah.
I was involved in developing a matching program, transplant matching program, mm-hmm. for relatives. Yeah, and mm-hmm. I've been there, and I know how they were. And
yeah,
the whole
it wasn't that long country, ago.
Oh, what?
No, I was saying I don't think it was that long ago that they were.
Well, I was 30 years. I was 30 years yeah. old, so now I'm 78, okay? That's how long ago yeah. it was. Princeton was started out as a Christian university. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't remember it, but, you know. So I think the fact that people have turned away from God, I mean, 40% said they were Christian. That's, you know, most people think you're a Christian if you're not a Muslim or something, you know, you must be a Christian. But so people can't say they are. So we're getting what we need, I guess. But we do need to fight to make the laws so that they can't keep it up. Because I think the problem with the age thing right there is because they call their nursing homes, but they put on their rehab centers. Well, you think of a rehab center is where you go get drugs, off a drug, but no. You go there because you've been laying up in a hospital bed for 3 weeks and you can't hardly walk.
Yeah.
But then they lock the family out to take care of them. And we've always known what nursing homes were like. Oh, please. Oh, no.
Yeah, but exactly.
I'm sure they're good ones, but, you know, they can do what they want to then. Nobody can get in to take care of them other than the fact that a young lady was calling that her aunt died in there, but because of loneliness. Well, that's another thing. You know, they did it on purpose. They want to get rid of our history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, which is why I told the story yesterday, that USA Today article that, you know, paints a different picture, the deadliest place. And well, you know, we keep hearing about nursing homes, you know, they're still hot spots and we're still having problems. How is that possible this many months in? And why are we not hearing about preventative measures? They say we're trying to keep COVID out. Well, there are a number of doctors who have been interviewed in nursing homes saying this is what we've done and we've been wildly successful. You know, hundreds of nursing home folks who don't have an issue. You know, we've dodged a bullet basically with this preventative care. So why are we being told that that's not a good idea? And there's no widespread call, you know, from federal agencies like CDC, for example, or NIH, when you have these doctors like McCullough and Risch and others who are saying, just look at our data. We're some of the most published, most credentialed doctors in the world. And this is what we've done. This is what we've actually done, treating hundreds and even thousands of patients who are suffering from this. Please look at our data. And if it's relevant, then publish it.
You're going to get what you pay for, right? If they have the gall to give a hospital $39,000 when someone dies of COVID, won't they help them die?
Well, you hope not. I mean, it's an interesting deal. I mean, the reason why I really emphasized the Senate testimony last month, where Dr. Ajit Jha was testifying with these other doctors like Peter McCullough and Risch and who else, is because that really illustrates the juxtaposition of the administrative technocratic mind and the, you know, the difference between that mind and the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, in particular the AAPS mindset, which is dedicated to treating the individual patient in honor and observation of the oath of Hippocrates. And so on the one hand, you have...
I don't believe it. I mean, I know what they say.
You have the juxtaposition represented in that Senate testimony. Ajit Jha is the administrator. He's the guy who hasn't treated a single COVID patient. And then on the other hand, you have the doctors who are treating these patients who do honor the oath of Hippocrates. And so you have that, you know, you can see the juxtaposition of those two views. And for that matter, there's that clip I think we played of Dr. Jane Orient describing the, I would say, conflict of interest that the larger organizations have that speaks to what you just said. I mean, you don't want to think that that's what's actually happening, but you know, if you understand
how that works,
then you can see how it might be possible.
When you go into most hospitals, they'll have their whatever it is, their goal, what you're here for. And it's not to cure you, it's to manage your health.
Right, that's why they call it managed health care. That's why the CDC is the Centers for Disease Control. Oh, yeah, and prevention, that too. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, right.
Used to be the Communicable Disease Center.
You know, one reason they stopped putting the total out there is because Trump, in July of last year, he told them to send all of the hospitals to send all of their data on COVID patients to him, to the White House. Yeah. So when he stands up and talks about it, it's not that bad. Well, he knows because he's getting the data, unless the hospital will lie and send CDC one and the White House another, which they would. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Pat. I appreciate it. When we come back, I'll go to another curious coincidence I haven't talked about yet. We'll cover that. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
hear them ring,
ting-a-ling,
soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style, in the air there's a feeling of Christmas.
children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street corner you
silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells.
It's Christmas time in the city.
Welcome back. Ring-a-ling. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Let's see. Dr. James Todaro, medical doctor, tweeted yesterday, for anyone considering the Pfizer vaccine, know that you're getting an experimental, all caps, vaccine. You are participating in a study looking for adverse events. Think twice if you're under 50 years old with an IFR under 0.02%. I talked about earlier. Matt, the image below from the FDA's EUA, emergency use authorization for Pfizer vaccine. And it talks about, you know, exactly what Del Bigtree talked about over Thanksgiving. You're enrolled in a study. Pfizer will conduct post-authorization observational studies to evaluate the association between Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine and a pre-specified list of adverse events of special interest, along with deaths and hospitalizations. What? Deaths and hospitalizations and severe adverse events, you know. The study population should include individuals administered the authorized Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine, under this EUA in the general U.S. population, 16 years of age or older, populations of interest such as healthcare workers, pregnant women, immunocompromised individuals. What could possibly go wrong? Subpopulations with specific comorbidities. That's fun. And we played that clip of Fauci. I hope that we don't have immune enhancement and cytokine storms and all that kind of stuff, binding antibodies, fun things like that. But I'm not confident. It's an experimental vaccine, as Dr. James Todaro points out. Moncef Slaoui was just on CNN talking about how – oh, come on. Grief. Vaccine hesitancy is the biggest challenge in the COVID fight. Vaccine hesitancy. If it's so great, then – and then, of course – it's politicized. According to a poll, 42% of Republicans hesitant to get coronavirus vaccine. It's always less than 50%, which means that, you know, the majority is smart and the minority, you know, are a bunch of wackos, but still, vast majority of wackos are, you know, you see how that works? Vaccine rollout in full swing as U.S. tops 300,000 deaths. Of course, you got to have the fear-mongering in there. So if it's so safe and it's so effective and it's so great, why all the propaganda? Why all the fear-mongering? The thing that I'll get to tomorrow that I didn't get to, the other coincidence, Lego. Lego. You know, the children's toy and propaganda outlet. I've been meaning to talk about this for weeks, actually. I haven't talked about it yet. I'll talk about the Lego PSYOP in conjunction with World Economic Forum and the Great Reset tomorrow.
Hello,
I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love, It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile Oxy Silver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.